And I love that passage of Genesis when he says that he brought them together. They became one. You take 2x4s, you put white glue, tape them together like this, leave them overnight. The next morning, try to take those 2x4s apart, you can. And if you take a chisel and a hammer and you go between the boards and you split them, what's going to happen? You think it's smooth? No, it's what? Splintered. That's what divorce does.
Welcome to the weekend edition of Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul was not a believer when he married his wife Sharon, and he almost destroyed their relationship. Then God miraculously intervened. For Raul's testimony of the Lord's redemptive power, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com. Or to get a free DVD of his story, call 800-634-9165. Well, we're glad you've joined us today as Raul continues our weekend marriage series with a look at how the Holy Spirit can bring blessing to every relationship you have. When you fully surrender to the Spirit's leading, His contentment, peace, and joy will strengthen your marriage and enrich all of your interactions with others. We'll begin today's lesson in Ephesians chapter 5. Here's Raul Reese now with the continuation of the message, Husbands and Wives' Duties.
And then he says that Spirit-filled people use their voices and their mouth to edify and to build up and not to tear down people. That's what he says. Look what he says in verse 19. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker and those that drink it are stupid. That's what he says. All the way through the Proverbs talks about drinking. And yet the Spirit-filled life that God gives to us individually, it is a life that God brings joy and peace in our lives and true happiness. Why? Because I have experienced that when a lot of times if we're Spirit-filled and you're talking to another person, you're speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns, which means you're sharing the scriptures with one another. And Paul here is recommending that if you're going to speak to another person, speak to them in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And look what he says. It's not the tone of your voice or how great you are or if you've been in the choir. Listen, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I like that. I love that. Just worshiping the Lord. And then listen, don't be such a murmur and complainer. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have today. Be content. Don't strive. Allow God to use your life in such a way that it's a blessing. Not when people see all the time, you're always uptight, you're always mad, you're always angry, or you always have some sarcastic thing to say to somebody else. Be careful. If you're a Spirit-filled child of God, these are the attitudes, these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit that should be within our own lives individually. And then check this out. Verse 21, the key verse. What does he say? Submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know what the problem with people is? No submission. That word submission is a very interesting word, hupotasso in the Greek. It's actually a military term used here to be under someone's authority. Think of that for a moment. In the military, you're under authority. If you work for the police department, you're under authority. If you work for the fire department, you're under authority. If you go to work for anybody, you're under authority. If you're a child of God, you are under authority. Who's that? God, the Holy Spirit. You see? And Paul is making the proclamation here that if we truly are spirit-filled, we are going to submit one to another in reverence to God, in the fear of God. And that word submit now, it is used all the way through chapter 5 and 6. All the way through. Because this is the problem with husbands and wives. They don't know how to submit to the Lord and to one another. Everybody wants their way. And you can't have your way. It has to be God's way, not your way. And that's why when people come in and say, well, we want to get married, we first of all ask them, are you living together? And if you're living together, then how can we marry you when you haven't been set apart? How do you know you really love that person when you're actually fornicating and you're not really giving a chance for God, as he says, to wait until marriage? So usually what we do is we'll say, you know what, for the next 6 months, break up, separate, pray, read the scriptures, come to church, get counseling, and see what God will do in 6 months. Let's see if you really love each other. That's biblical, you see? Not that we're prejudiced or we don't want to marry anybody. And that's what we need to do. We need to understand. Because once you make the vow before God, you are held by God. Why? Because the Bible says that God hates divorce. And Jesus, in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, he says that the only way a person could ever get divorced, and the only reason that a wife or a husband can say, you know what, I don't want to be married to you anymore, I'm going to divorce you, is because that husband or that wife has committed adultery. And you can forgive them and you can heal the marriage, or you have a legal right, spiritually speaking, to say, you know what, I don't want to be married to you anymore. You committed adultery, and they have a legal right before God to have a legal divorce. And then if they're to remarry, only in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that. Pretty heavy. Now, divorce is not the unpardonable sin. But listen, because there are some of you that are divorced here. I think it's really important that you understand that if you divorce before you came to Christ, then your old new things become brand new. You see? But it's when you're divorcing someone and two people are Christians and they're going to divorce and there's no adultery in the marriage. But we just can't get along. You know what I recommend? If they're not getting along, if there's even adultery in the marriage, I make a proclamation to them and say, you know what? Why don't you, or if there's verbal or physical abuse, I don't say, go see your attorney. I don't say that. I said, first of all, you know what? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, why don't you guys separate and give yourselves a time of prayer and fasting before you come together again? Wait on God to see what God's going to do. We have a friend that not only his wife didn't want him anymore when he became a Christian, and she divorced him, and he waited 6 years before he ever dated and before he ever got remarried again. Two friends we have. Because they wanted to be in God's perfect will. You see? Why? Because if you get married right away and you're marrying somebody else, guess what? Their extra baggage is coming in with them and you're bringing your extra baggage too. Here you have a daughter and a son that get married, and then their husband or their wife come from a divorced family. Now you got three grandparents. Or four. Or five. That's her and children. Because where do we go on Christmas? Where do we go on the holidays? You see? That's why God said, one man, one woman for life until death do us part. So help me God, I do. There are cases, biblically, where people do get divorced because there's physical abuse, there's verbal abuse. Hey, my wife had every right to divorce me. Why? adulterer, abuser, verbal, physical, you see? But for 4.5 years, as a believer, non-believer, she stayed with me because she knew that she, not only God has spoken to her heart, but she knew that she didn't make a mistake. She sinned against God by marrying a non-believer. But God, through His grace and His love and His mercy, worked out all things for us. But let me tell you something, it's been so hard for us. Because even though, you know, when we look back at our lives, the 4.5 years of the verbal and physical abuse and the things that I did to my wife and the things that I said to her, listen, hey, those are scars there forever. And we've worked through those things. And I have to tell her sometimes I'm sorry, because it's hard when you do things like that. And you know what I've learned too is that a lot of times young couples, especially young men, sometimes men are not as mature as women. And sometimes guys, they get married, they get a house, they get a job, but they still want to play. And you have to realize the responsibility that God has given to you as a male leader in your home, that it's okay to have your friends. And it's okay to do things, but you have a responsibility to your wife and to your children and to be the provider of your home for your wife and your children. You see? And this is hard sometimes on people. But yet Paul the Apostle not only here gives us insight to what God declares. And the first thing that he tells us here concerning women is that first of all, we need to understand about marriage, men and women, is God instituted marriage. God did it. In Genesis 2:18, 19:20, he said this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that men should be alone. I will make him," notice, "a thorn in his side, comparable to him." He didn't say that. Some guys said, "Oh, wow, that's pretty cool." No, a helper. She's your helper. She's not your slave. Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Raul. I want to take this time to invite you guys to Israel. You know, we go every 2 years to Israel. It's been so awesome to see people that have gone in the past, to watch their transformation coming back home. So when you open the Bible and you read it, in your mind, you go back to those places that not only you walked, but places where God touched your life. Especially when we went to the tomb. And I can remember people going into the tomb, coming out of the tomb in a complete different way. So we invite you to come with us to Israel. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. Again, we love you. Come to Israel.
Get together with Raul, Sharon, and Ryan Reese for a trip to the land of Israel, April 23rd through May 3rd, 2018. For more information, go to somebodylovesyou.com. That's somebodylovesyou.com and click on the tab Israel 2018 or call Inspired Travel at 714-957-8606. That's 714-957-8606.
And now here's Raul Reese with the conclusion of today's lesson, Husbands and Wives Duties.
What else? "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam gave, every name he gave them out. And then Adam gave names to all the cattle and birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." When he was in the Garden of Eden and he looked around, and man was a genius. And then he saw the giraffes and he saw the elephants. And he saw the monkeys, okay? And he saw all these things. He said, "That's pretty cool, but you know what? That's not for me." And then what did God do? God saw his emptiness. So God had another plan. So what did God do? God takes from the rib of Adam, and listen, there is no such word rib in Hebrew in the scriptures. It says in our English Bible, the rib. But the closest word to the Hebrew in that word is a curved side. And literally, it's a blood transfusion. He took the woman from where? From the man. He did not take the woman from the top of the head or from the bottom of his feet, but he took her right from the side of his heart. and he made a woman, and the two became one. You see? We need to understand that. God doesn't make mistakes when he gives you a wife or he gives you a husband. We make mistakes. But you know what? There is hope for everyone here. If you're willing to be submissive to the Holy Spirit, to God. If you're willing to be submissive. If you're willing to do what Paul says and what the Bible says, God will bless you. God will enrich your marriage. And to be able to see as we get older that we have a heritage to pass on to our children and to our grandchildren. And if you're single tonight and you feel that God has given you, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there is a gift of singleness, which means you're not going to be going on fornicating, but the gift of singleness is to become a missionary or never to be married and just to serve the Lord. Because why? Because a lot of times, how many times people that are single, and there are people that are selfish, and let's say that you don't have the gift, but you want to stay single, think about this, who's going to take care of you when you're old? That's why God said that God did not want men to be alone, you see? Man needs a woman. Woman needs a man. Hand in hand together. And I love that passage of Genesis. When he says that he brought them together, he glued them together. They became one. You take 2x4s, you put white glue, tape them together like this, leave them overnight, and next morning try to take those 2x4s apart, you can. And if you take a chisel and hammer and you go between the boards and you split them, what's going to happen? You think it's smooth? No, it's what? Splintered. That's what divorce does. Splinters a marriage. God said it was not good for men to be alone. Secondly, marriage is honorable to all or in all. In Hebrews 13:4, he says, marriage is honorable among all, the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. You see? Now, this scripture is so cool because this is what the scripture is saying. Because people will ask, well, what can we do as married couples in our intimate times? Well, it's up to the two people to agree, notice, to those things that you want to do in the privacy of your home. If one partner doesn't want to do something, you have to respect them and you cannot force them. And I'm not talking about pornography. Okay? The Bible is very clear. Read the Song of Solomon. If you want to get insight, read the Song of Solomon. You know what's amazing? God instituted this. You see? God gave us sex for what? For procreation, for marriage, so that we can become intimate with one another. But it's not apart from marriage. Because why? Because what you're doing, Paul says, when you're single or you're married and you commit adultery, fornication, and you have sex with somebody else, what are you doing? You're putting together yourself with another person. And Paul says, you're giving yourself to a whore. You see, and you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God because you're becoming one with that person. Be careful. You'll reap your sin tremendously. That's why God ordained, instituted what? Marriage. Marriage also, thirdly, is permanent. Permanent bond. Matthew 19:6. So then, they are no longer but one flesh. Therefore, what God has glued together, let no man divorce or separate. Fourthly, it is an intimate bond. Matthew 19:5. And he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be glued unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It is also God-blessed marriage. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he made them. Notice, he didn't say Bobby and Steve. Okay? Male and female. From the beginning of time. This is very important. Because the Bible says that God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay? That's what it says. I mean, I'm reading it right from the Bible. Then in Genesis 1:28, he says, Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then it is only to be dissolved through death. Romans 7, 2 and 3. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man in the Lord. You see? And then seventh, it is consummated into a relationship. Proverbs 5:15 to 19. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Talking about adultery. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? You know, being loose, immoral in your life. Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be in rapture with her love. Hey, remember when you got married, you said for better and for what? For worse? A lot of times it happens where a woman has a child or two or three and all of a sudden she has a weight problem. She doesn't have the same figure she had before. And it seems that some husbands begin to get angry and bitter towards that wife. And so what does that cause? It causes a person to commit adultery, to start looking somewhere else. And then again, it is centered what? In love and obedience. That's the key. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And then in verse 28, he says, so husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Let me tell you something. In the gym, I see so many guys in love with themselves. Just loving themselves. I am not kidding you. Worse than women. I wish I had a pin. That's probably what would happen anyways. But I mean, it's really important that we understand that it's in love and obedience. And then verse 33, he says what? Nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, so love his wife, his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Listen, if a husband is compassionate and loving, let me tell you something, that wife will do anything for you. But then again, she becomes what? The helpmeet to her husband. Listen, guys, she is a crown to her husband. You said, you don't know my wife. Listen what the scripture says. In Proverbs 12:4, he says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. And again, we're talking about spirit-filled marriages. She is a good thing to her husband. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. She is the weaker vessel. We talked about that. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And then again, she is your companion. Listen, hey guys, don't have girlfriends at work. And you ladies don't have boyfriends either. That's where the danger comes. You see? And a lot of times the reason that women will get boyfriends is because their husbands is not paying attention to them. Doesn't communicate, doesn't want to be with them. So somebody comes along and says, you're beautiful. And they start talking, wow, this guy is paying attention to me. My husband is not. I think I'll go over here. You see? Women are not dumb. But listen, the devil's not dumb either. He knows exactly what to do. and he wants to separate your marriage.
You're listening to the Weekend Marriage Series on Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to listen to today's teaching again, we can send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. To get that, just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the lesson titled Husbands and Wives' Duties. Well, as you continually look for ways to strengthen and improve your relationship with your spouse, we'd also like to offer you a book titled 7 Steps to a Successful Marriage. It's a practical guide that explores God's biblical instructions for both husbands and wives, and at the same time offers helpful insight into how you can work together to make your marriage healthier and more fulfilling. Get in touch with us to order 7 Steps to a Successful Marriage and take your relationship to a new level of commitment, both to your spouse and to the Lord. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you a copy of this encouraging book for just $7.95. You can also order this resource by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We'd like to remind you that here at Somebody Loves You Radio, our funding comes from the regular financial support of our listeners. Your donations help defer the many costs associated with a radio outreach and enable a continued broadcast on this station, and every gift you give is tax deductible. Coming up next weekend, we'll continue this series studying God's blueprint for a marriage with a sure foundation and sturdy strength that can withstand the test of time. We hope you'll join us. Now, with the final word from today's message, here's Raul.
Listen, husbands, you need to spend time loving your wife. Listen, women will never get tired of saying, how many times say, do you love me? I just told you 10 minutes, I love you. You call them, I love you. And you'll get home and she'll say, do you still love me? I love you. I've been with you 35 years. What else do you want? I've given you children. I mean, what else do you want? They love to hear it. So you tell them, I love you, honey. It's hard. But let me tell you, they love it. Sending them flowers, taking them out to dinner, spending time together to get a babysitter for the kids so you and her can be alone. So it's important that we understand what God has given to us. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.